This show furnished by Taste Bud Entertainment.
Welcome to a delicious hour of culinary conversation with Chef Jamie Gwen. Dish with celebrity chefs, cookbook authors, trendsetters, and food experts, and gain inspirational ideas to feed your soul. You'll learn kitchen wisdom, wine education, and lifestyle tips, and you'll eat and drink like never before. Food and Wine with Chef Jamie Gwen starts now.
A very good winter weekend to you food lovers. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. Celebrate food and life by learning about the culinary scene around the world. Every Sunday on this show, you'll hear from chefs and artisan food makers, farmers, authors, and travel experts, sommeliers, and taste makers, all of whom are passionate about everything delicious. It's my goal to feed your soul, so don't touch your dial, because I have an hour of scintillating and scrumptious conversation coming up. I am always serving up seconds, by the way, at chefjamie.com, where you can find radio podcasts of shows you might have missed. They're also posted along with my homepage postings on iTunes, FeedBurner, and Blueberry. You just want to search Chef Jamie Gwen. And you can find my daily dish, shameless as it is, what I ate, what you ate, what I'm cooking, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen. So every Sunday, I like to kick off this show with a lesson in food to make you the best cook you know. And I thought we would talk phyllo today, shall we? Phyllo isn't actually the most forgiving dough. It takes some patience and a small amount of finesse. But those crunchy, lighter-than-air layers are so worth the effort, right? That cheesy, beautiful dish that everyone knows and loves, spanakopita, just wouldn't be the same without phyllo. I happen to think that phyllo is a freezer aisle miracle. So this is the lowdown on what you need to know about phyllo. Phyllo actually translates to leaf in Greek, and it is a tissue paper thin-like sheet of dough made very simply from flour, water, and a bit of oil. However, phyllo dough was not born in Greece, rather in Istanbul. The name phyllo is Greek, but the dough technique itself is Turkish. Now, of all Turkey's delicious sweet confections, the most famous is baklava. I happen to love the exquisitely flavored, nutty, honey-laden pastry that has been made for centuries. And I love food facts, too. The earliest known version of baklava was actually baked only on special occasions. In fact, historically, baklava was considered a food for the rich until the mid-19th century. But phyllo has come a long way, and here in America, we now use it for a multitude of sweet and savory dishes. Phyllo can enclose a huge variety of fillings, both savory and sweet. It can, of course, be assembled in a variety of shapes and sizes, like a cone or a crust or a purse or a triangle. You can twist it and fold it and roll it and press it into a pie. I use a muffin pan. Stay tuned. Great tip and recipe coming up. And you can use it as a substitute for pie and pastry dough if you want to go a little lighter. Now, you can also shred it using a sharp knife and use it to make a nest, which you bake, which looks so truly fabulous. And it can be cut very easily to make bite-size appetizer size, let's say starters. Oh, then, of course, you can leave it large and roll it to make a strudel. So the possibilities are endless. Now, here is how to use phyllo. Maybe you need a refresher or you haven't attempted to use the flaky, delicious pastry before. You should really experiment. First, when it comes to phyllo, you must defrost properly. You can't really rush this part. You refrigerate the box of frozen phyllo for at least 8 hours. I like to refrigerate for overnight, and you allow it to thaw, and then you'll need to leave it at room temperature for about a half an hour until all the sheets are pliable. If you jump the gun, it will lead to cracks, which, of course, just won't do, right? Then, of course, when it comes to phyllo, one of my favorite parts is that you need plenty of fat. In order to get golden individual layers, you have to brush each layer of phyllo with butter or oil. Now, I like butter. That's not a shocker if you know me or if you've listened to this show for a long time. You'll need a pastry brush, and do remember that each sheet will soak up around a tablespoon of butter. So do plan accordingly. Now, it's the butter that leads to that perfectly golden color. And of course, the fabulous flavor. So use good quality butter, and it should be unsalted, of course. You'll want to keep the phyllo covered as well when you're working with it, because working layer by layer does take time. And you'll keep the rest of the phyllo dough covered or wrapped so that it doesn't dry out in the process. Now, some chefs like plastic wrap. I happen to like a barely damp kitchen towel. I think it works best. You don't want to wet the towel and wring it dry. You just want to dampen it lightly under the kitchen sink, shake it out a bit, and then lay it over the layers of phyllo. And as you take a layer, cover the remaining layers with a towel, that barely damp kitchen towel, of course, and it will stay pliable instead of getting brittle. Now, if you didn't know, one package of phyllo contains dozens of paper thin sheets. So it's a very cost effective way to pull out all the stops, you could say. Most preparations or recipes that you'll find, though, use 5 or 6 of the sheets stacked together. And that's what gives you that really decadent, crumbly, layered pastry. Now, what do you use it for, you ask? Well, how about a quick weeknight chicken pot pie? You use leftover, or let's say store-bought rotisserie chicken, some leftover cooked veggies, maybe some diced potatoes for the filling. And the phyllo crust is really simplicity itself. Just sheets of phyllo brushed with butter layered on top. And once you assemble it, you can bake it in less than 30 minutes, and it's really brilliant. Now, spanakopita, another great application for phyllo, that traditional spinach pastry I mentioned earlier, very simple to master, very impressive to make as an appetizer. Baklava, little bit more laborious, but still one of my favorites. How about making an apple strudel? Caramelized apples rolled in buttery phyllo, baked like a log, so good. And lastly, there is the phyllo cup. You could buy them, but why? It's one of the simplest preparations, and it will make you a culinary hero. And you can fill a phyllo cup with just about anything. You can make them large or even small. You need a mini muffin pan or a standard size muffin pan. And before the end of the hour, homemade phyllo cups are my last bite. So stay tuned. I will teach you how. I would also love to know what some of your favorite ways are to use phyllo. So please feel free to send your best recipes or your culinary queries via email direct. You can get to me at Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, at chefjamie.com. Okay, in food news this week, I love this story. By the French standard, a restaurant is awarded a Michelin star because they are top quality. They have amazing service. They serve out-of-this-world revolutionary food. But sometimes, and in fact, it just happened, you're awarded a Michelin star because the Michelin guide confused you with another restaurant. That is exactly what happened to Le Bouche à Oreille in Bourges, France. They were awarded a Michelin star earlier this month. However, the Michelin star was actually meant for a restaurant with the same name over 100 miles away. Can you believe it? The difference between the two restaurants could not be greater. You see, the restaurant that was mistakenly given a Michelin star is a lunch-only bistro that offers burgers and fries. And the Michelin starred location has lobster and foie gras. But despite all of the confusion, all is well that ends well. The restaurant that was certainly deserving of the star has been granted it. The mix-up has been fixed, but the burger joint benefited from all of the media attention that it's getting. And so as a result, the owner has even been invited to eat at the actual Michelin-starred restaurant of the same name. And you've got to love a food story with a happy ending, right? I do love it. Stay tuned. There's food news every week, and it will make for great dinner party conversation, don't you think? Food enthusiasts, whether you're eating at Michelin-starred restaurants or making glorious dishes at home, you are shopping at Smart & Final in Southern California, aren't you? I am very proud to have Smart & Final as a supporter and partner of this show, making it possible for me to share my passion for food with you every week. And you might know Smart & Final as that place where you stock up, but today they are so much more. It's the new and better than ever Smart & Final, where you can still stock up on thousands of club sizes, but now you can pick up your groceries for the week at prices lower, in fact, up to 25% less than shopping at a regular grocery store. You'll find everything from fresh, locally sourced produce, even organics, to restaurant quality meats and incredible prices on wine, beer, and spirits at Smart & Final. So why not shop it all at the ultimate warehouse and supermarket? That's the new Smart & Final. Warehouse and market, friend and neighbor. Find a store near you at smartandfinal.com. And please don't touch your dial, because we have grand guests coming up this hour. In fact, we are eating from the ground up next with author Alana Chernilla. She has recipes for simple, perfect vegetables. And later in the hour, he is Richard Carlton Hacker, a world-renowned connoisseur of spirits. Do you know your scotch from your whiskey? Well, we'll bring you up to date on all the libations worthy of cheers. Stay tuned. I'm Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio, and the delicious conversation continues right after this. It's time for the Melissa's Produce Pick of the Week, every week from the ordinary to the extraordinary, guaranteeing that the best and freshest worldwide produce anywhere comes from Melissa's. This week's produce pick, the exotic dragon fruit. I love this delicately sweet, mildly acidic flavored fruit. It's reminiscent of a bit of watermelon with cactus, pear, and kiwi all combined. They have this beautiful jasmine-like fragrance when they grow, and you'll find edible black seeds inside. They're ideal for blending into drinks or using in your morning smoothie, and they make a gorgeous sorbet. So look for Melissa's Dragon Fruit in the produce section of your favorite supermarket, or order your produce direct to your front door by going to their website at melissas.com. The best, the freshest worldwide produce anywhere, along with dragon fruit, always comes from Melissa's.
Are you looking for a relationship that is meaningful and fulfilling? So were Jordan and Camilla.
I wasn't so sure about getting on eHarmony, but my brother said, hey, I met my wife on eHarmony. Just give it a shot.
I was nervous about joining eHarmony too, at first. I mean, you never know who you're going to meet, but eHarmony made it really comfortable. It was really fun learning about each other.
At eHarmony, we're different than the everyday dating apps that can leave you frustrated and lonely. eHarmony has found a way to bring people together who are right for each other and ready to find something real.
The eHarmony questions helped me realize what I truly care about.
They got us talking, and then we realized we are meant for each other.
Gave it a shot, and I found the best person for my life. When I'm with her, I'm happy.
Aww.
If you're looking for a real, meaningful relationship, go to eHarmony.com today. And for a limited time, get a free month included when you buy a three-month plan. Use code READY. eHarmony.com. Use code READY.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu with breakfast favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the Sausage McGriddles, Small McCafe Espresso Drinks, the Sausage McMuffin with Egg, and
a new gaming console for my son.
No, but the $1-$2-$3 menu could help you save for one. Wait, isn't your son 5 months old?
Who told you?
I just know these things.
Oh.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection. And Match is not only number one in first, but second dates too. Now here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/search for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/search. That's match.com/search. Match.com/search.
Dig in with me every weekend for truly delectable conversation. I'm Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. Alana Chernilla cooks with pleasure, and she's making vegetables sing. In her third cookbook, Eating from the Ground Up, Alana imparts insight into how to showcase the unique flavor and texture of your favorite veggies, giving each of us an opportunity to maximize the season's bounty or your garden or your farmer's market pleasures. So what is the best way to eat a radish? Well, Alana Chernilla is stopping by to teach us a few lessons today, and I always find her passion inspiring, and I am delighted to welcome you back, Alana, and congratulate you on the new book.
Oh, thank you so much, Jamie.
Yes, of course.
I'm so happy to be back.
Well, thank you. Very much appreciated. Okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, Alana. Is radish butter really the best way to eat a radish? Because you must start us off with your spring story, please.
You know, I gotta say it is.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like I love a good radish with salt. I love plain radishes. But when you chop a radish and fold it into good butter, so it's worthwhile to really splurge on the good stuff at the grocery store. And then you can spread it on really thick because there's radishes in there. So it's, you know, you need a good layer of butter. Mm. You get the bitter, spicy radish mixed with the creamy butter, and it's like both make each other more delicious. It's really one of my favorite things to eat in
yes.
the whole world.
And supposedly your community ate nothing but radish butter, according
yes.
to you, for a full week, which makes you very powerful, Alana.
It's true. I introduced my whole town to radish butter because, you know, it's like, when I don't think I had ever really eaten a radish. It's like you eat the vegetables that you eat, and then when you come face to face with new vegetables, you have to figure it out. So as in the story you were referencing, you know, I started working at the farmer's market, and I had to figure this out because people were coming to me and they needed answers.
Yes.
So radish butter was my first answer and still one of my best.
No doubt. And you've only grown from there. I love the new book, and I love that it is so vegetable centric in that you share beautiful pots of soup and warmth and comfort and excuses to eat with your hands. But I think my favorite chapter is very much in line with the way I cook and I know you cook. And it's really a genius title, and I'd like to focus on it. You call them barely recipes.
That's my favorite chapter too. So
yes.
I'm so excited.
Who doesn't love a barely a recipe kind of? It's a method more, or a technique, or an insight, right?
Exactly. It's just like a little nudge to help you just to make something more delicious with, you know, the least work possible.
Okay, so first up, roasted asparagus with yummy sauce. And by the way, yummy sauce might be my new title for just about everything that dresses a plate. What is that?
Good,
what's
right?
it? What's in that? Oh, it's yummy sauce.
So yummy sauce is actually, this is a good story. My
so
mother
good.
Worked in a natural foods kitchen mm-hmm. in the, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s. So she was making like tofu whipped cream and, you know, all the hippie food. And they put together this little pamphlet of recipes that they would give out to people.
Oh, I hope you still have that.
I have it. It's stained. It has pictures of my mother, like, in her overalls. It's amazing.
I love it. Could you, because I love your stories, could you share Julia-style beets, please? I will eat anything
yes.
that Julia Child ate. It's true.
So that's a story from my friend Jane, who lives around here, and she has the most amazing garden. Like, you know, one of those gardens that it's she tended it herself her whole life, fed her children from it. It's just very simple, but just so much love tendrils everywhere, herbs everywhere.
I call that a garden of envy. Do you know that?
Oh, exactly.
I have a friend with a garden like that. And I go to the farmer's market and then I go to her house and she says, oh, wait, come see mine. And I say, oh, are we going to the garden of envy? Because I'm very envious. I really am.
I feel exactly the same way. Even though I grow really great asparagus, that's pretty much the only thing I do well these days. Everything else is weedy. And I walk into people's gardens who are like that, and I'm like, someday I just want to be the person who can have this garden.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's me. So, but Jane is definitely that kind of person. And so she sort of has a reputation, and people are like, oh, you have to see Jane's garden. And apparently, Julia Child was visiting the Berkshires, which is where we live, and the friends who she was visiting said, we need to show you this garden. And Jane was working in her garden, and there is Julia Child stepping out of the car.
Oh,
and
my.
And then it's amazing. Jane is an amazing woman herself, and she impersonates Julia with the most, like, loving, you know.
Yes, beautiful accent.
Wonderful accent.
Right.
And she says, the only way to eat a beet is roasted with balsamic and just a little red wine if you have it, you know.
Yes.
Gave her the temperatures, everything, standing over her row of beets.
Oh.
And then Jane taught me the recipe. So, yes. You know,
and then
you can't say no to that.
No, you've thus paid it forward.
Exactly.
And shared it and passed it on. Talk corn and mint as the perfect flavor pairing, would you? Because summer will be here before we know it.
Oh, yeah. That's a really great one. And so corn and mint, you know, I feel like, again, mint has a little bit of bitterness to it.
Mm-hmm.
When you taste it, it kind of makes your mouth pucker a little bit as you eat it, which many herbs do, which is great. And so when you get that little bit of bitter and that undertone of the real mint, and then you have the sweetness of the corn, it does that wild thing that it sort of brings out the best in both flavors.
Mm.
And I find when you put corn and mint together, I've given that recipe to people who swear that they really don't like mint. And they love it because it just highlights the corn so much.
Yes.
And even the great thing is that recipe, you know, you can make that with frozen corn, and you can make it with corn that isn't even that sweet, but it'll pull out all the sweetness and really make it sing.
Yeah, definitely. I have to agree. I will tell you, I make a summer corn salsa with preferably cherry tomatoes halved and avocado and red onion, and it started with parsley, and then one day it elevated to parsley and cilantro, and now it's parsley and cilantro and mint and every herb I can collect in the garden. But the mint does make it shine.
Yeah, mint is a real magic element.
It's a magic element. What a great way to put it. I am making big skillet cauliflower pasta for dinner tonight. And
I love that recipe.
I will toast you.
Wonderful.
Yes. You talk about your favorite kind of skillet cooking. If you would, make it for dinner for us, please.
So that recipe, it's so satisfying because everything is, you know, made in the same pan. And I have a big 15-inch cast iron skillet.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you don't need it for this. You can do it in a 12-inch. But so essentially you roast the cauliflower. And with a little bit of cumin seed, and you roast the cauliflower and you roast the sausage at the same time. And what that does is it, you know, it sort of creates this lovely flavor glaze on the cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything gets roasted and then the pasta is cooked in the pan, you know, in a regular pot as you would cook pasta. And then when you combine everything, you add a little bit of pasta water, which, again, is another magic element.
Yes, because it has the starch from the pasta, and it creates sauce. You never drain the pasta into the sink. That's the rule.
No, you have to save the pasta water.
Yes.
And, you know, you add some spinach, I believe. I'm remembering this recipe from my mind.
Yes, spinach and goat cheese.
Yes, and goat cheese.
Oh, now you have the creamy goat cheese with the spicy sausage and the roasted caramelized cauliflower.
Oh, it's so good. And there's the little bit of cumin seed just adds this little thing that, you know, you don't know what it is. It's just this wonderful little flavor.
Mm.
And so, right, so you have your spinach, you have your goat cheese, you add the pasta water, And because everything is hot and roasted, it melds together in this lovely, cheesy, wonderful dish.
Oh, I'm
right there in the skillet.
I'm hungry right now. I am.
Maybe I should make that for dinner tonight, too.
I think we should on both coasts.
Yes.
Have a communal dinner. I like it.
Exactly.
I like it. And then I hate for you to go, so please come back soon, but leave us, if you would, before you go, with a big platter, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly. Is it gado gado?
Yes, gado gado.
Oh, I'd be so happy with that for dinner.
I know, that is such a lovely dish. That is, it's based on a traditional Indonesian dish, and, you know, it's made in many different ways, as anything is, you know, that spreads around. But essentially, you have this really great spicy peanut sauce, which is wonderful with everything. And then you just make this beautiful big platter of steamed potatoes and raw vegetables. You have cucumbers and fried tofu and just a whole beautiful, you can do tomatoes and string beans and all sorts of lovely vegetables. And I give a lot of suggestions in the book, but it's one of those lovely things that you can just, what's in your garden or what's at the market, what's in your fridge.
Yes.
And cook it all, put it out on your biggest platter, make that peanut sauce, which will take you 3 minutes.
And eat with your hands.
And eat with your hands because it tastes so much better when you do it. And it's so lovely, like, to put it on the table and just let everybody go for it.
Okay, so this is tomorrow night's Meatless Monday meal.
Exactly.
Okay. Once again, I will toast you, so you can tell I'm on a Alana Chernilla kick. And proud to call you my friend and to be a fan.
Thank you.
Congratulations. The book is really beautiful. And no matter the vegetable, you have taught us the central lesson that you really shouldn't mess with a good thing. But the answers...
Keep it simple.
Yes, keep it simple. The answers to vegetable humdrum are in the new cookbook release from Alana Chernilla called Eating from the Ground Up. It is available now everywhere. And you want to follow Alana's culinary escapades because they are beautiful on all of social media and especially on Instagram at Alana Chernilla, C-H-E-R-N-I-L-A. Alana, let's not go so long. Come back, please, so that we can talk summer veggies. Yes. Till the next time. Thank you. There is lots more fabulous food to celebrate in your radio right after this. Chef Jamie Gwen, don't go away. Chef Jamie Gwen here. So you're gearing up for an Oscar party tonight, maybe? Or you need sandwich stuff for the week for lunches? Maybe steaks or chicken for dinner? Well, it's a good thing that Smart and Final has you covered, right? Smart and Final and Smart and Final Extra stores are better than ever. There's no membership fee required to shop at Smart and Final, and you'll find exceptional values. You see, there is a place in your neighborhood where you can find farmers market freshness combined with sizes large and small, even club-sized products, and prices up to 25% lower than supermarkets. That place is Smart and Final. At Smart and Final, you get it all. Restaurant quality meats for family dinners, supplies for weekend parties, beautiful organics and locally sourced products, and some really cool gourmet stuff that you just can't find anywhere else. So if you're looking for a better supermarket, well, then skip the supermarket and go to a Smart and Final store where you'll find exceptional values this week, like fresh boneless, skinless chicken breasts, value pack with rib meat, limit 4 packages, just $1.49 per pound, and juicy tangerines in the 3-pound bag are $2.49 each. Find a Smart and Final store near you at smartandfinal.com. And did you know that Smart and Final is now delivering? Visit smartandfinal.com and your first delivery is free.
Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Gary Garrison. A driver was killed in a Gardena crash that sent a nearby mobile home up in flames overnight. The driver reportedly lost control of his vehicle, hit a power pole that was sheared in half, and then slammed into the mobile home near the intersection of 135th Street and Western Avenue. A Sig Alert is still in place. Limo Sig Alert. The Academy Awards are nearly underway, with stars and their entourages heading toward Hollywood and Highland. Producers of tonight's 90th annual Oscars are likely hoping for a much less dramatic end to the event than last year, when the wrong film was announced as the Best Picture winner. And Hollywood is mourning the loss of former MASH actor David Ogden Stiers, who played Major Winchester on the long-running TV series. Stiers succumbed to bladder cancer at his home in Oregon at the age of 75. KABC SoCal weather, sunny today, highs upper 50s to mid-60s, mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid to upper 40s. I'm Gary Yaris and Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Studies show if you sleep next to someone who snores, you could be losing an hour of sleep every night. I'm Trina Webster, and I don't have that problem anymore.
I'm Dan Webster. We're the founders of ZQuiet.
We know how snoring can turn your sweet dreams into a nightmare of shoving, poking, and morning frustration.
Not to mention those dreaded trips to the couch in the middle of the night.
Snoring was a real problem for us.
I tried everything, even surgery, but nothing worked.
That's when we developed an amazing solution called ZQuiet.
ZQuiet is easy to use and works immediately, so you can sleep comfortably without making a sound. Just pop it in before you sleep and kick snoring out of bed forever.
Millions of people are sleeping better every night thanks to ZQuiet. So if better sleep is one of your goals, go to GetZQuiet.com.
Get $20 off the regular price when you text BED to 246810 or go to GetZQuiet.com. Text BED to 246810 or go to GetZQuiet.com and get $20 off today.
Chef Jamie Gwen here. At Hoffie, making delicious is what they do. Family-owned for over 85 years, Hoffie is true to its roots and embracing the future, honoring tradition with great flavor and quality. Hoffie Original Recipe Beef Franks are made with the highest quality 100% beef and the family's special spice blend. Whether you need a quick, delicious weekday meal or a hearty feast while watching your favorite teams with friends, Hoffie Premium Beef Franks provide the quality and flavor you need. And don't forget Hoffie Bacon Wrapped Hot Dogs. They've put together two all-time favorites that will make everyone happy. In fact, at Hoffie, that's just what they do. Hoffie, making delicious, making happy. You can stock up on a variety of Hoffie hot dogs at Smart and Final stores in Southern California and find recipes and ideas for dinner tonight at HoffieBrand.com.
Cheers and welcome back. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. Raise your glass because we're about to talk spirits. You see, Richard Carleton Hacker believes that one of the saddest refrains in the English language is last call. And that's why I like him. So you know how to drink, but do you really know the historical merits of your favorite scotch or whiskey? Do you know the difference between the two spirits for a lively dinner party conversation? Well, in The Connoisseur's Guide to Worldwide Spirits, Richard's long-awaited book release, he reveals the definitive answers about your favorite libations. Richard Carleton Hacker is an international writer and photographer and a lifetime member of the exclusive Keeper of the Quake Society, along with being one of less than 300 masters of the quake in the world. Oh, he was knighted in Germany as well. And I am delighted that Richard is sitting down to dish as we talk about him as a connoisseur and worldwide spirits, of course. And I'm glad to have you, Richard. Welcome.
Thank you, Jamie. It's my pleasure.
Well, thank you. Could you define quake, please? The word is spelled Q-U-A-I-C-H, and it's not one I know well.
Well, not many people on this side of the pond do. But it's an old Gaelic word, and a quake is a pewter cup that you hold in your hand, and there's handles on either side, so you hold it with both hands, and you fill it with malt whiskey, Scotch malt whiskey, and you hand it to a guest as he enters your house. Now, the tradition is if he drinks too little, that means he's stingy. If he drinks too much, that means he's greedy. So the pressure's on him to drink just the right amount, and if he does, then you know you've got a really good friend.
Okay, so would you assume, please, that I took the perfect sip and welcome me into your world?
I think you're the perfect friend.
Yes. Well, thank you. Okay, well, I think you're the perfect friend, Richard, and the best person I can think of to invite to a dinner party to talk spirits. I'm immensely impressed by your extraordinary ongoing education and your commitment to this wonderful wide world of beautiful libations. And I think we should start off with a review on how to taste, because I have read your book cover to cover, and it was really enlightening to me. There are so many things about this wonderful cocktail hour there that are still to learn.
Well, it's my favorite time of day, and I have to preface that because I tell people, and this is true, I wake up in the morning, Jamie, thinking about cocktail hour.
Yes.
Now, they think, oh, that's because you want to drink, you know, with breakfast. Yes. No, not at all. Cocktail hour is a time my wife and I can relax,
yes,
and talk, and the cares of the day are momentarily put away. That's why it's my favorite time of day. It just happens to come after 5 o'clock when drinking is, a little more realistic. But tasting, you asked me about tasting.
Yes, please.
And it's fascinating to me because people think, oh, I'll just drink this. And they say, how do you like it? Oh, it's good. That's not it. To taste a spirit, there are a number of steps. And the first one, of course, is to nose it. You actually put your nose into the glass, not deep into it, but just below on the surface of where the lip of the glass is, because you don't want to overburden your olfactory senses with that sting of alcohol. And so the way you do that is you open your mouth and you take a breath. By opening the mouth, you don't get the sting. And you can try this at home. You can take a deep breath with your favorite libation, with your mouth closed, and you'll feel that little alcoholic sting. Or you can try with the mouth open, the sting goes away. So that's the first thing. What I do at this point, I mentally dissect what I'm smelling. In other words, I visualize it in layers, and I try to define what those layers are. Am I getting, keep it simple, and then you can get more complex, as I've done over the years. But, is it smoky? Is it sweet? Is it sugary? And you just go on down the line. Then you can say, okay, I'm getting fruit. Well, then you can say, well, what kind of fruit? And then you can say, well, I'm getting apples, or I'm getting, pears or grapes. So you can carry this to ad infinitum if you want. That's just the nosing. Then the next step, of course, is you take a sip, not a gulp, but you take a sip, and you kind of slosh it around in your mouth. You chew it, if you will. What you're doing is just spreading that liquid across your tongue, and then you swallow it. And when you swallow it, you're getting another taste that's much more potent than the smell. But what happens is, when you breathe out, you're getting all those aromas really accentuated, like under a microscope. And it's coming out now. It's coming out through your nose. You've got, over 40,000 olfactory senses in your nose. You've got 7 in your mouth. Mm-hmm. So you've really analyzed this thing. So I do that a couple times, and I just write down my little notes. And, you can let this get out of hand, as I've done. And this is true. I will find myself in a restaurant subconsciously picking up a glass of water, swirling it,
yes,
and nosing it.
And writing notes, of course.
Yes.
No, but I do think that because the beverage world, and I'll call it that because it is so absolutely widespread today, because there are so many different choices in what we drink, and not only our particular drink of choice, but when it comes to searching around the world for unique spirits, or when you talk about scotch versus whiskey and the spirits that, continue to elevate, I think that tasting notes or even mental notes of what it is, the virtues, the attributes of what it is you're tasting that you really appreciate and like, definitely aid in the education of finding your own perfect palate pleaser. And that's what I'm all about. You don't have to become a master sommelier to truly appreciate wine. But if you know what you like and you can put your finger on it, I was always taught to open my mouth, going back to the nose and the nosing, as you were speaking about, because it actually opened the palate. And when I sit and taste wine with friends, I encourage everyone to open their mouth. And I always get one of those oohs and ahs kind of moments, Richard, because you do realize how much more you're getting in the sense of the bouquet and how much you can put your finger on and then decipher what you like or love from it.
Absolutely. And it is important, as you said, to realize what you like. People say, oh, I don't like white wine, and they make a generalization. Well, there may be some white wines that you would like once you start knowing the varieties. The same thing with spirits and whiskeys. They have a learning curve all their own, and that's why, you know, people say, what's your favorite drink? And I always say, whatever is in my glass at the time.
Yes. Let's talk about specific spirits, please. And if you would, give us a little bit of your historical genius and maybe the state of the spirit today. And we'll talk about everyone's favorites, but I will selfishly ask you to talk vodka first, because I did want you to know I am a Grey Goose girl, and not by choosing a frosted bottle, but because I have tested myself, and I can choose Grey Goose in a blind tasting. And to me, that is a testament to the continuity of my palate.
Absolutely, and that's quite a compliment, actually, to your palate, Jamie, because I'm one of the judges at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, and
yes,
they always start my team off with a flight of vodka. So we have like 25 vodkas in tasting glasses. And anybody who believes the government's definition of vodka is clear, tasteless, odorless, they've been going to the wrong bars.
No doubt.
You can sniff your way down, and granted, some are very similar and watery, but others, like Grey Goose, have a definite personality, a DNA, if you will. And with Grey Goose specifically, they are very proud of the wheat they use. You know, it's a very specific wheat from a specific area in France. They call it their DNA, and you can make vodka from anything, as you know, any organic material.
Oh, we've seen a grape based and wheat and corn and potato and so many others, right?
Oh, you name it, yeah.
Yes, for sure. You should know, Richard, by the way, that Grey Goose does not sponsor this show, although I welcome them, of course. It is actually my vodka of choice from a totally palate-pleasing perspective. From vodka to gin, you say in the new book that gin is in, and there's no doubt gin is experiencing a resurgence. It got its start in Holland, I learned from your prose, during the 1500s.
Right, and it's got a medicinal beginning, like
yes,
many spirits do, you know. Amaro started as a medicinal thing, and gin certainly started as genever, which was herbal, meant to cure all kinds of illnesses that they couldn't divine back then. And then it evolved, and the British, William of Orange, brought gin making into Great Britain, and now, of course, it's again, you can make gin anywhere. It's not like cognac, or it's not like champagne. It doesn't have a geographical protection. So they're making gin in Edinburgh, Scotland now. I just had one. It's called a Christmas gin, and I'm a big Christmas fan. And this is distilled with all kinds of Christmas botanicals and holly. It almost tastes like a very subtle Christmas tree.
Oh, I love it. Okay, you've given me food news for the end of the year. Thank you. I appreciate that. We need to take a quick break. Richard, you will stay with me, please.
I'd be happy to.
I'd love that. When we come back, if you are a Scotch aficionado, then you'll learn everything you need to know. Richard Carlton Hacker is here, the author of The Connoisseur's Guide to Worldwide Spirits. So, take a break, fill your glass, and come back as the delicious conversation continues right after this.
Whether you need bananas for lunch, tri-tip for dinner, or party goods for the weekend, you'll find everything you need at Smart & Final. Smart & Final has the low prices of a Walmart, the big sizes of a Costco without the membership fees, plus the freshness of your local supermarket. Smart & Final. Warehouse prices, big and small sizes.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine watching your toddler vomit all over the hardwood floors when you almost settled for carpet. Screaming loudly into a pillow in that private first floor master. Finding the mudroom covered in what you hope is mud and remembering why you wanted a mudroom.
also get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
The Capital One Saver Card presents the invention of the sandwich.
Sir, the snack you requested.
Ooh, look at that. Bread and meat and bread again. Oh, by decree of me, the Earl of Sandwich, I shall call it the sandwich.
Brilliant, sir.
The sandwich was once the next big thing in food. Now, it's the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 3% cash back on dining, 2% on groceries, and 1% on all other purchases.
What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank, USANA.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss, because Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text FINAL to 85850. Bosley is America's number one hair restoration expert, trusted by people all over the country and founded right here in L.A. Check them out now in Beverly Hills, Newport Beach, Westlake Village, or Ontario, and let Bosley show you for free how great your hair could look. Bosley uses the latest technology, and their solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting FINAL to 85850. Don't forget, that's FINAL to 85850.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
We're back and we're dishing. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio, toasting the weekend with Richard Carlton Hacker. His new definitive book on the world of spirits is being highly praised. He is a long time and experienced taster and expert, and we've been dishing on your favorite libations. Richard, I know you could go on for days, if not months, on scotch and whiskey, but give us the lowdown, please.
In terms of what, generalizations?
Yes, if you would, because I think that differentiating is the most important understanding of sorts between the two. And then, you know, the beauty of scotch and whiskey, if you are a scotch or a whiskey drinker, is definitely an even more prized education.
Well, that's actually a good question, because one of the biggest problems, if you will, is people say whiskey, and they say whiskey as an all-encompassing word. And whiskey itself actually comes from the old Scotch uskibea. Uskibea meaning water of life, and uskibea got anglicized into whiskey through a course of centuries. So we call Scotch whiskey, we call bourbon whiskey, but what's really, really interesting, I think, as a writer, is whiskey is spelled without an E when it's from Scotland and it's from Canada, and then whiskey is spelled with an E, you know, K-E-Y, if it's American whiskey, or, believe it or not, Irish whiskey. So when I'm writing, and this book is a great example, I was just paranoid with the proofreader, who I never met, didn't know, and didn't even know if he drank. I sent him, I don't know how many emails, saying, do not change the spelling of the word. Whiskey is not misspelled. It's spelled two different ways.
One must know. That's right. One must know. So you are a Scotch drinker?
Primarily right now. You know, I change with the seasons. Right now I'm a single malt drinker. I began drinking bourbon. I love bourbon. And bourbon I segued into a single malt Scotch. And now, of course, the next big thing is rye whiskey, which actually predated bourbon in this country. And I'm finding some really interesting ryes, and I love my, you know, I don't make cocktails, and I say that in the book because cocktails take time. I'd rather have somebody who knows what they're doing make a cocktail for me.
Yes.
I will drink it straight at home. And I have what I call the lazy man's Manhattan, which is basically chilled rye whiskey with a cherry in it.
Oh, okay. I'm in. When you mentioned tequila, that prompts me to think of mezcal having its day in bars and restaurants across the country. That smoke flavor, definitely a 2018 food trendsetter. And incorporating that smokiness into a cocktail is no doubt hot right now.
Absolutely, and it's interesting you say that because most mixologists are using mezcal in a cocktail as part of the recipe as opposed to making a mezcal drink by itself.
It's a it's a blender today, is it not?
It is absolutely.
A blending spirit.
The good correlation to the Smoky Isla single malts. You know, there's degrees of smokiness, and there's degrees of smokiness in mezcal, too. And mezcal is having its day. I don't think it's going to be as big as some of the other trendy things like rye, because it's kind of an acquired taste. You either like it or you don't like it.
Yes, it is. I agree with you for sure. I love when you pull out your crystal ball. leave us with a recommendation, if you would. For the best collectible, you speak about collectibles in the Connoisseur's Guide to Worldwide Spirits. Can you recommend something rare or desirable to show off or to give to a connoisseur, let's say?
Well, there are a number of really, really rare bottlings I've got in the book, and of course others have come out. I think what you want to be careful of if you're going to collect spirits or take something that you hope will appreciate and value is not to do like a pseudo collectible, you know, only 10,000 bottles made. That's not what you're looking for, but you want something that can't be duplicated again. Macallan has a program called Fine and Rare, and are searching back through the warehouses and getting a barrel of 1991 vintage single malt. And they, in fact, they just did that, and they released four bottles, and they priced them at $15,000 a piece. And I know what you're thinking, $15,000? Well, they all sold out, all four, within a week. It's insane. And
no
what's going to happen
way.
Is those bottles are going to come on the secondary market in auctions, and there are some whiskey clubs that sell collectibles. And they're going to be higher priced. One of the big collectibles now that you can probably, I say, get is, Pappy Van Winkle 23-year-old bourbon. This is the thing that everybody wants. They only make, well, I shouldn't say, but I will, they make a little over 3,000 bottles once a year, and they're gone. They come out, and they're gone. And the list price is $300. And it never sells for that. It goes for thousands and thousands of dollars. So if you're going to collect, you've got to look for something that is, one, really in demand, two, that probably will not be repeated again. And the collectibles tend to be the brown spirits.
Yes.
Cognac Hardy's has got a four-bottle set. Only two of the bottles will come out, one for each of the four seasons.
Wow.
So they're priced in the $15,000 to $16,000 range. So, wow, that's a lot of money. Okay, it is a lot of money.
Richard, my birthday is in September.
Ah, September what? So is mine.
28th.
Oh, I'm the 10th.
Well, there we go. So now we know how we can reciprocate.
But if I give you a bottle of $15,000 Hardy's and you give me a $200 bottle of Macallan 18... Well, okay.
I know you won't come back on the radio, so I'll know better for that. I'm very admiring of your knowledge and your lifetime dedication, and of course to all of the wonderful honors and certainly prized titles that you have deservedly earned. And I commend you. The Connoisseur's Guide to Worldwide Spirits is really a beautiful education, and for any cocktail lover or libations fan in your life, this is the coffee table book they will love to read. With over 400 original full-color photos, it is entitled The Connoisseur's Guide to Worldwide Spirits. It is written by Richard Carlton Hacker, and it offers a really intense education into the wide and wonderful world of cocktails. The book is available on Amazon and everywhere. And will you come back before our birthdays, Richard, as not to risk anything?
I was just going to say, let me be the first to wish you a happy birthday, but I think you beat me to it.
I thank you. I appreciate that. You're welcome here anytime. I look forward to it. Thank you, Richard,
so much. Thank you so much.
Yes, cheers to you. And so that brings us to the end of another hour of gastronomic dedication and inspiration. I hope that you'll open your mind, expand your palate, and tune in every Sunday to gain delicious knowledge on the wonderful world of food. I will leave you with, as promised, my last bite for the hour. on the topic of phyllo. If you tuned in to the start of this show, you heard me speak about the wonder of the freezer aisle. And these are actually one of my favorite party tricks. Homemade phyllo cups are so simple to make, and they're a beautiful vessel for both savory and sweet fillings. On the savory side, you can fill them with tuna or egg salad. You get a really fancy presentation. For a sweet dessert, put a scoop of ice cream inside each cup, drizzle with sea salt caramel or Sambuca chocolate sauce. Now I'm making myself hungry. Or fill them with raspberries and cream or chocolate mousse. They're just so good. You'll preheat your oven to 425 degrees. Arrange a sheet of phyllo on a large cutting board. Brush it with melted butter. Repeat until there are six layers. Then you'll cut 4x4-inch squares and fit each square of layers into a muffin pan. You'll want to press the phyllo into the cups of the muffin pan and bake for about 10 minutes until they're light brown and crispy. Store them at room temperature and you have made a homemade phyllo cup. I will post the recipe on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen. And I hope to meet you here next Sunday for more delicious conversation in your radio. I'm Chef Jamie Gwen signing off. I thank you for listening, and I hope you continue to eat well.
This show furnished by Taste Bud Entertainment.